Pretty sure she pissed off.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. Okay, so Rishus of Reingold, let me just clarify what we're not going to talk about this morning. I tried to be clear with the title. My apologies if anyone, we'll see if anyone walks out of this moment. We're not going to talk about the question of, heaven forbid, a person is on the verge of passing and taking their organs before they pass or when they've halakhically passed. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a different question. The question we're talking about this morning is the opportunity, for example, to be a kidney donor. It's probably the most common example of this question. So just to create a scenario, a person knows an individual who, heaven forbid, their life is at stake. And if they don't have someone provide the kidney, they're going to die. And the person has the opportunity to give their kidney. So two questions. One question, is one obligated to give the kidney? The second question is there any situation where one is not allowed to give the kidney? Those are the two bases. Now, obviously, this is not only for kidneys. Don't take anything what I'm saying at medical face value. Check it out. But my understanding is liver transplants are of a greater risk than kidneys, but it's definitely a very real option also. So that's the question. If I were to ask you, would a person be obligated in providing a kidney to save another person's life? What would be your any comments? What would be your knee-jerk reaction? No. So Rabbi Greengart would say no. Why would you say no?
Because you're undergoing a risk for yourself that it may not help somebody. It may or may not help somebody.
Okay, so you're saying it's a suffix sakana.
Right.
And may or may not help. Okay, Rabbi Greengart, let me ask you a follow-up question. Based on that, let's say a person wants to be a kidney donor. Is a person allowed to be a kidney donor? You know what I mean? In other words, if you see it as suffix sakana.
Well, it's the same thing as a person allowed to jump into a river to save somebody. Probably do the same thing.
So I guess you would say yes. Okay, so Rabbi Greengart would say not obligated, but if they want to, they can. And then the rationale is a person's not obligated to give up one's life. Any other thoughts about this? Okay, Mr. Boris.
Why did you put the liver donation in the same category? You only have one liver.
Right.
You can't live without it.
Right, no, so there is some way to do it. Again, I don't know, there is some discussion about maybe a membrane for the liver. I don't know the details, but there is some discussion about it. That's another question, is a person allowed to actively give up their life for another person? Which, Baruch Hashem, we're not talking about that when we're talking about kidney donation. But let's say there was a scenario, you could imagine, certainly there are stories like from the Holocaust and things like that. What's the halachic status of that? That's also an interesting question. What would be the apparatus by which one might be obligated to give a kidney? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But what would be like if you were taking a very technical route? So it would seem to be a pasuk in the Torah. It says in the Torah, Lo samar adam riecha. Don't stand on your brother's blood. Now, it's interesting. Practically speaking, the most common application of Lo samar adam riecha has to do with Hilchos Lashon Hara. You know, in other words, I don't want to, you know, somebody goes going to go into business with someone else, and he's really a crummy guy, and I don't want to say Lashon Hara, but if I stand by idly, this person could really get messed up. It's a question of the prohibition of Lashon Hara versus the prohibition of not standing in your brother's blood. That's a complicated question. But on a very literal level, this is a question of Lo Samar Adam Riecha. If you, the sheets are very strangely organized, and that's just a little bit of a portal into my brain. But if you go to page five, I also was recently involved in a procedural based off of something, and I wrote up a sheet to be signed, and a senior rabbi there looked at it, and he says, we're going to have to write another sheet. I said, oh, did I make a mistake? He said, no, it's just very hard to read your writing. So that's another issue here. So page five, Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Haroa es chaveiro tovea b'yam. O listen, boy, my love. A person sees, really, Rabbi Greengart's example, a person sees his friend drowning at sea, or thieves are coming upon him. O chaya rabba, love, or heaven forbid, a fierce beast is attacking him. V'yacholat silo hu ba'atzmo, and he has the capacity to save the person's life. O sheyiskor acherim lat silo, or maybe he can hire somebody. You know, I'm not a great swimmer, but that guy over there can really swim. I'll pay him to swim. V'lo hitzil. Svi, if I could just ask you to go outside while you're taking off your tefillin, okay? And then you can come back in. It's a little bit of a distraction, okay? Just take off your tefillin outside and then come right back in, okay? Does that sound okay? I'd appreciate it if you did that, okay? Okay, v'lo hitzil, and a person didn't do it. Oh, sheshama goyim, o mosrim mechashvon avra, o tomrim lo pach, v'lo gila ozen chaver v'odio. Let's say you hear of some plot that people are about to do something ill to a person or plot a trap for him, and you don't tell the person. Oh, she yada begoy o ba'ana shubal chaveiro v'yachol afaiso beglal chaveiro ulahasa masha belibo. Or you know someone's about to attack your friend and you can appease them or whatever. V'lo piso kiyotz mitzvurim elu. You, all these scenarios, you could have helped someone, you didn't. Over alosavar adam reecha. You're in violation of a law in the Torah. So now it's a very fundamental and basic question. So they tell me, if I give the kidney, I'll save the guy's life. Is that lo samon adam reyecha? Am I obligated? The Ritva's had this shaila post, and this is the separate sheet. I'm sorry for the late edition, but it's the separate sheet. The Ritva's did not have this shaila, but it was a very similar shaila. Basically, some officer comes and says to Ruvain, he says, unless you let me cut off your arm, I'm going to kill Shimon. So is that lo samon adam reyecha? Is Reuven obligated to allow his arm to be cut off, or whatever the exact example was of the Ritva's, so that Shimon's life will be saved? It's a shiloh. So let's see, if we see over here in a different context, let's see the first page, page number one. Because, I mean, let's try to look at it very technically. Again, the knee-jerk is to talk about giving up one's life, but what's the technical obligation? Looking at it very technically, and what's the basic story? So, Shulchan Aruch says as follows. It's like the middle of the page on the first page. The general rule is all the Averos except for, you know, the three unique ones of Avodah Zarah, prohibited sexual activities, or murder. They come to a person, they say, we want you to commit this Avera, and if not, we're going to kill you. If it's in private, meaning it's not an issue of Chilul Hashem, of a public desecration of God's name. Fortunately, there were many situations like this during the Holocaust and many other times in our history where the enemies were specifically trying to make a point. You know, we're going to show, you know, that you won't keep the Torah. Not like that. It's a private situation. And they just have some great desire the guy should eat treif. And they say, if you don't eat this hamburger, we're going to shoot you. So, yavur v'al yehareg. Better to be in violation and not be killed. If it's not going to cross a public chilul Hashem, so eat the hamburger. V'im yirtze lahachmir al atzmo v'lihareg rashai. If a person wants to be strict and allow himself to be killed so as not to eat treif, he's permitted. Im hagoy mechavin laviro aldos. If the non-Jew is trying to show that he's going to get you to stray from religion. It's, by the way, there's a very interesting implication to this, which maybe we'll touch on a little bit later. If the non-Jew has no interest in your religion, and I don't know, he just has some bizarre desire to see a person eat a hamburger and has nothing to do with treif, and nothing to do with kashrus, nothing to do with Torah, the implication is you're not allowed to give up your life for that. So we have three fields. One is chilul Hashem, public chilul Hashem, in which case you have a mitzvah to give up your life. One is where it just has nothing to do with anything, which is not allowed to give up your life, it seems. And the middle is, it's private, but he's trying to make a point. Okay, now the Rama says, V'im yuchal lahatzil atzmo b'chol asher lo, tzorich liten akov lo yavr lo sase. Now, the Rama makes a separate point. Let's say it's not a question of my life or the Avera. Let's say it's my money. Let's say I tell the guy, listen, the guy comes up to you, heaven forbid, he puts a gun to your head, he says, I want you to turn on this light on Shabbos. And you say, I don't want to turn on the light on Shabbos, but I'll make you a deal. I'll give you $5,000. So all of a sudden, the guy's principles are a little bit down the tubes because $5,000 is a good thing. So the Rama says, if you don't have to give up your life, but you do have to give up your assets in order to stop from violating a sin. Now think about that for a second. That's a fascinating question now. So now, if it's an Avera, it's a lav d'oraisa to stand idly by when someone's going to die. Theoretically, if I could pay a certain amount of money to save the person's life, what would you say right now? Obligated or exempt? Sounds like you're obligated, right? Now, if I would have to give up my life to save the person's life, obligated or exempt? Exempt. What if I had to give up a limb, an organ? So now, part of that question is, do we consider it to be a suffix sakana? sakana is dangerous, life and death. Some sakana is a doubt of life and death. It's a very interesting question. Again, I'm no medical expert. So I went on one of these sites the other day. It says as follows. It says that a person who has one good kidney, the odds of them dying because of only having one kidney are something like 1 in 200. But, and this is a very important caveat, there's a, as I'm sure people know, there's a significant screening process before a person is invited to be a kidney donor. And that 1 in 200 is absorbing people who don't necessarily have as healthy systems as a person who would be eligible to be a kidney donor. Do you understand what I mean? So I don't know the statistics, but there are numerous questions and issues that are dealt with by medical staffs. And clearly, if they're allowing this person to be a kidney donor, they've gone through many hoops to be confident in the viability. So that's an interesting question. Do you call a kidney donor, is that called suffix sakana or not? It's an interesting question. So I want to get through a little bit. It's very interesting. So this tshuva of the Ritvaz died in the early 1900s. So this is a long time ago. But this tshuva of the Ritvaz basically says, it seems to say that any... Now, by the way, there's also any complications when a person has a surgery. But again, the medical odds of heaven forbid, a person meeting their demise from surgery, you know, a healthy person, we know, thank God, are very small, thank God. So the Ritvaz basically says any time you do anything with a person, he seems to say you hit on suffix sakana. Anytime you do anything with a person. The Tzitz Eliezer, I did not include that here. It's Chelek Tes Simon Mem He of the Tzitz Eliezer. He actually poses a question. He says the Ritvaz theoretically seems to talk about two different fields. One is giving up one's limb, and one is a suffix sakana. But according to Ritvaz, is everything a suffix sakana? You know what I mean? So he's very, the Tzitz Eliezer has a very big question. What's called suffix sakana? He entertains the possibility at the very end of the tshuva, has a lengthy tshuva, and entertains the possibility that it could be that if the doctors meet and they feel that it's, you know, a medically sound thing to go ahead and do, it's not called the suffix sakana. He says that maybe. It's not so clear. Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Weiss, seems to look at that kidney donation as suffix sakana. It's important to note that his tshuva was written 50 years ago. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, and that is at the end of this packet. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he basically seems to be coming out that standard organ donation could very well not be considered suffix sakana. So I've sort of wandered afield a little bit now. Let's get back to the basic question. We know that if it means giving up my life, I'm not obligated to give up my life to save another person. Even though it's a law of Losam Adam Recha. We know that if it costs money, I am obligated to pay money to save another person. So let's say we create a field of something in between. It's not my money, and it's not my life. It's my organ. And it's likely that, and let's say we've jumped the suffix sakana boundary. It's likely that I'm not going to, you know, we're medically confident that I'm not going to lose my life over this. But it is my organ. So there's a shach over here, shach gimel. Shach Gimel, it's on page 1 Gimel. And if you can understand that I wrote 1 Gimel, you should get an A from my 9th grade Gemara class. It took them 3/4 of the year to figure out what I was writing. So Gimel in the Shach, if you see, it's the Sifsei Kohen, the top right of the page, is a little bracket there. V'lo yavor lo sase. So the Ramah had said you should pay whatever you can so as to not be in violation of a prohibition in the Torah. Avo mitzvah sase, but a positive commandment. First of all, there's a fascinating distinction between a positive mitzvah and a prohibition. A positive mitzvah, the normal Talmudic rule, is a person doesn't have to spend more than a fifth of their assets in order to perform a positive mitzvah. But a prohibition, it's theoretically everything a person has to not violate their prohibition. Now go to the next line. The im yesh sakonas aver, if a person's limb is at stake, tsarich iyun idami lamamon. Ola nefesh. That's the question that we posed. Is a person's limb more like giving up one's money or giving up one's life. Vayim b'rivash, simet shin pei zayin, ubarachayim, simet shin chav ches, sif yud zayin, v'nire le kula. And would appear to be lenient. Meaning that if it was a person's limb at stake, you're not obligated to do it. You're not obligated to give up your limb to not violate a prohibition. By the way, just to sort of turn the question on its ear a little bit, would we be mechal Shabbos to save a person's life? Yeah. Certainly, we'd be mechal Shabbos to save a person's life. Would we be mechal Shabbos to save a person's limb?
Oh, wow.
I think so.
So normally we say, normally there are exceptions, but normally we say you wouldn't be mechal Shabbos to save a person's limb. So this question is posed. So what you're seeing from that halacha is a person's limb is not on the same tier as a person's life. Moshe Feinstein points that out, and others in the Tshuvos pointed out, but there's a distinction made between the two. I don't want to take the time out of it, so the bottom line is, so statement number one in what we're talking about would seem to be that a person's not obligated to give a limb or an organ to save another person's life. It's a beautiful thing if a person wants to. We're not trying to discourage a person from doing it, but a person's not obligated to do it. That seems to be the first point. Maybe at this time at the end, there's a very interesting Gorsa Meach over here. So now, let's go on to the second question. The second question is, and I sort of touched on numerous aspects of the second question already, but just to address it officially, let's say a person wants to donate an organ. And let's say the situation is it's a very significant risk. Let's say, I don't know how common this scenario is. My guess is there are scenarios like this where the medical profession says, listen, we don't feel we're being irresponsible by letting you go ahead with the procedure, but we want you to know the risk is significant. More significant than we would normally, advise. So now the question is a person allowed to do it or is a person not allowed to do it? The Ritvaz in this tshuva, again, he was the one who had the question about if a person... if a person could, let's say, allow their arm to be cut off to save another person's life. And he said, you're not obligated to, but if you do, it's very nice. He says, if it's a safek sakana, if it's a real possibility that a person's going to lose their life over it, they're a chassid shote. They're an idiot. They're a frum idiot. Which basically means it's not so frum. You know what I mean? So how does that play out? And again, I want to reiterate, it's distinctly possible, it's not 1,000,000% clear, but it's distinctly possible that standard organ donation today, we wouldn't classify a suffix sakana. I want to be very clear about that. And if we're not classifying a suffix sakana, it clearly is permissible. It does not seem to be mandatory, but it's clearly permissible. And praiseworthy is the person who does it.
Why is it mandatory?
What?
Once it becomes not a suffix sakana, why
is it mandatory? L'chora, the svar would be because of this shach that we saw, where the Shach says that giving up one's aver, you could be lenient on it. That would be the rationale. In other words, it's a law in the Torah. A person would need to give up their money to not violate the law. A person would not need to give up the life. But it would seem that you could put a person's bodily abilities with the life category in terms of being obligated to do it or not.
Even though we have examples in which not
for right, but Shabbos, Moshe distinguishes between Shabbos and, yeah. Basically, the basic gist is, who says I have to put myself in that situation? And Shabbos, it already is happening. Another question is, am I allowed to mechal Shabbos? Right. That's very different than who says I have to create a situation in which, I lose a certain capacity. Right. Okay. Let's see over here. So first of all, just to get context, if we go to the previous page, page 1, Bays, if you see on the left side, there's a Shach Bays. There's a little bracket there. So again, we had touched on this as we were reading through, but the Shulchan Aruch says, a non-Jew wants to get you to do an Aveiro. It's not one of the major three Aveiros. It's in private. And he says, if he's trying to show that he's going to take you away from your Jewish practices, then you're allowed to give up your life. Says the Shach, Avalim Eino Mechavin El Anos Atzmo. But let's say he just thinks it's fun to watch someone eat hamburgers. He doesn't mean anything philosophical in any of it. Asul hachmer. You're prohibited from being strict. V'nikra chovah b'chaveiro. V'tzarek la'avar v'al yehorig. I don't understand. If someone said, if you went up and you killed someone, you better have a good reason to kill someone. Right? Guess what? It's true for allowing yourself to be killed also. You have to have a justified reason to allow yourself to be killed. So the Shach says, if there's no standing up for your faith aspect at all, it's just he just wants you to eat non-kosher, he says it could very well be that you're prohibited from allowing yourself to be killed. So, let's think about, one could say, well, it's very nice that I want to save this person's life, but if I'm allowing myself to be killed, do I have a right to allow myself to be killed? We see that even if I have the best of intentions, it's not just like carte blanche, whatever I want. It's not my life, it's God's life. So, there's an interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin. Near the end of the packet, there's one Gemara in Sanhedrin, but not that one. Everyone needs to have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that they're not learning. Sanhedrin Ayin Dalmanoff. It's page 6 in the packet. Are the packets still around, or are they Ariel, can you pass the packet, please? Just one is necessary. Thank you so much. Okay, page six, right at the beginning of the line. It's a little bit more than halfway down the line, halfway down the page. It's the beginning of the line. There's a bracket. Kol aveiro shebetorah im omer lo adam avor v'al tehorig yavor v'al yehorig. So the famous three averos that it would be possible that you would be killed. Normally we say better to violate the avera and not be killed. But by these three averos, we say better to be killed than not violated. How do we know that that's the case? Rotseach gufei. It's the seventh to last line of the Gemara. Third word in line, rotseach. Rotseach gufei minalan. So how do I know if someone puts a gun to my head and says, shoot that guy or we'll shoot you? So the halacha is, I have to say, so shoot me. I'm not going to kill that man. How do we know that that's the halacha? So we say, svarahu. It's just logical. It makes sense. Why does it make sense? Dahu de asal kamei de rabav amrli mari duroi zil katli laplanya vilo katlina lach. There was a story where someone came and asked Rabbi this shaila. Someone said, kill so and so, and if not, we're going to kill you. Amrli liktaluch velo siktol. Better they kill you and you not kill. Why? Famous quote. Mi yemar dama didach somik tvei dama dama dahu gavra somik tvei. Who's to say that your blood is redder than his? How do you know that your life is more valuable than his? Now jump over to Rashi. So if I were to ask you right now, so what this means is, I have no right to take another person's life over my life. I have no right. Now let me ask you a question. Do I have a right to take my life over another person's life? In other words, the point of that Gemara is, don't do the act of murder. And if that guy kills you, that guy kills you. But you can't actively make the decision. So one could certainly make the argument that I also don't have the right to kill myself to save the other person. That's like the inverted argument. You could certainly make that argument. Is everybody with me? Yeah. Let's see Rashi. Svaruhu. So it's on the right side of the page, about three quarters of the way down. There's a bracket. Svaruhu. Shlotidche nefesh chaveiro. Dikatarti. If you kill that other person, there's two problems. Ibud neshama va'aveira. There's two things that go wrong if I kill that guy. One is there's a person who dies, and the other is I've committed a sin. Mipneinav showed the alachada ibud neshama vulo yavur. If I allow myself to be killed, heaven forbid, how many things bad are there? Only one. Either way, there's going to be a lost life. But in one case, I'm actively committing a sin. In the other case, I haven't done anything wrong. So better to allow oneself to be killed than to do the act of committing a sin to kill another. Tchiyom rachman alav ala mitzvos b'shem v'chai behem. Shum diyakara be'ain of neshama shal Yisrael. The Torah says I should violate commandments for the sake of keeping my own life. So then, this is also a commandment. I'm not supposed to kill this guy. Yeah, I'm not supposed to keep my own life. Yeah, Rashi says, but the reason why that is because every Jewish life is precious in the eyes of God. So my life is no more precious than his life. What you see very clearly from this Rashi is clearly treating the Gemara, but based on Rashi's understanding, is clearly treating everyone equally, right? Either way. So now here's the question. There's a person who's going to die. Person who's going to die. If you give him that organ, it's very possible he'll live. And you might die, you might not die. So on his side, it's vadai sakana. He's definitely in danger. And on your side, it's maybe sakana. So if I treat the two lives as completely equal, so which one, what would it make sense to do? Anyone want to comment?
To do with it.
It would make sense to go ahead with it. It would make sense to go ahead with it. In other words, if I'm taking the model that I have no idea whose life is more precious in the eyes of God, I have no right to make any assumptions, so I know he's about to die, I know I could do something that likely will save him. Now, it could cause, heaven forbid, my own death, but I don't know. But I know if nothing happens, that man's going to die. So, Ramosha comes out that even if it's suffix sakana, even if it's suffix sakana, I want to reiterate, it's distinctly possible that many, many scenarios of organ donation today would not be considered suffix sakana. It's a shaila. But even if it is suffix sakana, even if it is a greater risk, says Ramosha, it would be permissible to do it. Ramosha argues, you're not a chassid shote. Bidvaz says, you're a chassid shote. Ramosha says, not necessarily so. It would be permissible to do it. Everybody with me? It's an interesting thing. By the way, just one more interesting point about this.
You can just be arguing that you're mechuyev.
Okay, thank you. So why aren't we saying you're mechuyev? So it keeps on going back. Because what's the grounds that it's mechuyev? If you were talking technically to someone, what would be the grounds that it's mechuyev? Losamana damriacha. But we've already decided that losamana damriacha does not include one's own physical bodily...
Because we equate it to nefesh, right?
Right. By the way, in this case, it's suffix sakana. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's more extreme.
Right.
But, so we wouldn't say you're mechuyev to do it, but if you want to do it, Rav Moshe says it's reasonable to do it. Just to... I want to see... Back on page 5, we saw this page earlier. So the Shulchan Aruch had said, you know, you could save the guy, you could jump into the water and save the guy, you could pay someone to save the guy, you could tip him off that he needs to be saved. All those examples. Shulchan Aruch had said, if you don't do any of the above, you're in violation of Losamana Damriacha. Says the Sma. It's on the right side, there's a bracket there for the base. Ubagos maimonios kosvu dibirushalmi masik tzarech filahachnis atzmo b'safik sakana avur zeh. So Ari, the Yerushalmi is like you. Yerushalmi says that if it's possibly going to risk your life, but it's definitely going to be a risk of life to the other person, you have to do it. Not you're permitted, you have to do it. Ve'vio Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef cites it. And he writes, V'nira she'atamhu b'pnei she'hala vadai v'hu safek. And it would seem the rationale is because, again, one person's definite, one person's maybe. But the bottom line is, the Beis Yosef is written by the same person who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and he doesn't write about that here. Gamzei Shmito HaMechaber, Ubezei Yishlom Rekimon Shaposkim, Arif, Aram, Arash, Vatur, Loiviu, Pipiskeim, Shemachim, Shvitu, Gamkin. So the bottom line is, the Sma says that it seems the Shulchan Aruch made a conscious decision to leave that statement out, and because there are numerous Rishonim who don't say that way, he didn't hold that way, Lalacha. So, just to sum up, obviously this is a very profound, not a light question. It's something that a person has to make a lot of decisions about. And obviously a person has to consult with the other people in one's life. I mean, these are very significant decisions that can impact far and wide. But the bottom line is, it seems that a person is not obligated to give up one's limb or organ to save another person, it would seem that it would seem clear that if it's not a suffix sakana, it would seem it's a very praiseworthy thing to do, but not an obligation to do. If there is a suffix sakana, then you have different. First of all, the big question is how do you define what's a suffix sakana? Even if one, you've classified it as a suffix sakana, you have different opinions in the tshuvos. Ramosha Feinstein famously says that even if it is a suffix sakana, it's permissible to go ahead and do it. And by the way, the Rishalmi really says further than that. The Rishalmi says you're obligated to. Now, I do want to clarify. Ramosha has one more scenario. Ramosha has a scenario when this is all. If you want to see it, it's a naf dalid of this tshuva. It's the last two pages of the packet. Ramosha has one more scenario where it's definitely a pikuach nefesh. In other words, person could actively give up his own life to save another person. Person's going to die. And I want to actively give up my own life to save that other person. Then Ramosha says you're not allowed to do that. And that goes back to the logic of how do you know that his blood is more red than yours? You have no right to make that assumption. So that's the basic way it plays out. Any comments, questions? Ariel.
With regard to the undertaking of voluntary risk, would the principle of Shomer Pitayim Hashem be operant here?
Shomer Pitayim Hashem, that we say there's a concept that God sort of looks out for fools. I think it's a very significant question of what's called Safek Sakana. You know what I mean? And it could very well be that for what we're talking about, Safek Sakana is a more significant bar. This is very complicated. I mean, in the end of the day, it's very difficult to practically navigate because in the end of the day, you know, there are statistical dangers of everything. You know what I mean? Person should just not get out of bed in the morning, but then that could be dangerous too. Who knows? You know what I mean? So that would be challenging. So the question is, what's called suffix sakana? But assuming, I think laniyos daiti. I think again, even if it's not, Ramosha allows it anyway. But I think it's fair to say, and this is sort of what the Tzitz Eliezer suggests. I would think, practically speaking, for us to figure out suffix sakana, it would be that the medical community has defined that such a scenario is beyond the normally advised bar of risk, but they don't think it's crazy, you know. But they need the person to know the risk. That's what I would assume is really the scenario. Phil,
are you familiar with the practicalities of this shiur and practice of doing this compared to America and to Israel?
No, I'm not. I apologize.
Because I remember. I remember a few years back there was a question of brain death. What is brain death? And I remember in America there were more lenient in brain death to declare it in order to take an organ.
Yeah, but this is that's really a different topic, and that's not what we're talking about right now.
In Israel, there was more strict.
Okay, very good.
I was wondering if there was a parallel between here.
I'm not aware. Okay.
The last tour on Gimel.
Yeah.
But when I first saw this, I read it the other way. Idami lamamon ol nefesh v'nira lekula. Could kula ever be treated like mamon, which is the kula rather than the nefesh?
I don't. I think that the standard way to understand it is kula. Kula is a practical a term of practical application as opposed to. Weight or severity. You know what I mean? That's how I would understand it. It's interesting. Okay, anything else?
What do you mean?
Okay, thank you very much.